Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Across the Park podcast. Filming on location from Ilsean.
On location at one of Judgy's many, many UK properties.
No, just in a sunny Crosby today, lovely day. But again, it's been a lovely weekend for Blues. Massive results. Not a point that I think we expected to get.
Bonus point.
Bonus point, yeah, because if you're like us, and I think most Blues have done it, you've charted through where you think we'll get our points, where we think we get our results. Not many people would have been predicting more than a defeat there, but so many positives. Say, how was that game, wasn't it?
Loads. And going back to what you're saying there about predicting things, some fans did, and I've seen it on our socials. Some fans were saying, Chelsea were 10th and they weren't the best team. I think worrying for me is they were hitting form, weren't they? They had 3 wins prior to playing us. So it was one of those games I looked at and I said to you on the show, we're running out of games now. And that's why I was so worried, because the games that were coming up were difficult. Yeah. But yeah, so many positives. I thought, because we were under so much pressure at times and then breaking, it's sort of because the game was flowing that way. I could actually see more of an identity, because the game was that open. You could see how we were defending. We were pushing them wide all the time. Our midfielders were like, you're not getting through this.
Yeah.
Go wide. And then you see why Michael Keane's in the team.
True,
because Michael Keane was winning so many headers. I think there's a stat out there that he won 80% of his aerial duels. And that was because we're forcing the issue. Go wide. We've got 2 big centre-halves at the back. It won't pull up any trees. Probably won't.
Love defending crosses.
But they'll love defending
crosses. Defending and attacking crosses.
They were clearing it. The only danger that with that is, I think one of their goals came from this, is that second ball that our midfield at times weren't picking up. That second ball, they were having a few shots from outside the box, but I could see an identity on Saturday. Not that I haven't seen it, because I've seen it against Arsenal, but in my mind, the Arsenal game and the Leeds game at the time, I'm thinking, is this one off? But I could see that we took that home form into Saturday night. Really, really pleasing to watch for me.
Really pleasing performance, or one of the particular positives for me, Abdoulaye Zakore. He plays in a role kind of, off the forward a little bit, didn't he? He was definitely getting a lot more freedom up there. Seems to find a few extra yards of pace, whether it's because the wife's giving him a bit of stick, his contract running out, he needs to try and find the wages for next year. But great performance from him, an assist and a goal, which is priceless at this stage of the season.
He's playing, for me, with the bit between his teeth.
Yeah.
And he's one of those players, when we were talking about players who can step up, I think we'd done an instant-match reaction after the Southampton game. And we both agreed that the personnel on that pitch, we had to get better, because there's no one really out there that we trusted and relied on. He's come out of nowhere, that bit between his teeth, and maybe that's a little bit where he had a bust up with the previous manager.
Yeah.
And we know that Frank Lampard banished him from training. He wasn't in the dressing room at Finch Farm. He was training at different times.
Nias-esque.
But maybe he's come back and look, we don't know what happened with Frank, but it looks to me, speculating, that the dressing room and the management team sort of went like that. And Zakore's been welcomed back in by that bunch of players, and he's just got the bit between his teeth. He's selfless in his play. Yeah. He's dragging defenders. He's helping out defensively. He's charging goalkeepers now in the press. If you notice the press, that's what he's doing. He's going for the goalkeeper and trying to force that.
The spare man, really effectively, isn't he, in that shape? It's like a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-5-1, but he's given that license to kind of just go and go and get involved.
Both ends. Help the midfielders when he needs it. And helped
it was,
him
it was basically what Iwobi was doing this time last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Iwobi was that man who was just chasing things all over the pitch.
Yeah.
But he obviously gave Iwobi that role. Sorry, to Corey that role. And again, I thought he was excellent. But for me, regardless of all that running, the assists and the goals are what we need this stage of the season. We got himself in the right place at the right time, which we haven't had many players who've done that. He's done it against Forest, obviously, the week before, where he's got in that area again. And his touch. But, we'll come on to Ellis Sims' goal in a bit, but his touch for Ellis Sims' goal, he just guides it into his path. It was
such a quick transition.
It was.
It was Mykhailenko to Corey and goal, almost, two touches from Sims.
Before we do come on to that, obviously, it was another game where Mykhailenko found himself host of the team, and Godfrey again, I thought was outstanding, but made a change quite late on. I was thinking, you're 2-1 down, you're thinking, come on, is that all we've got? We're going to bring one fullback on for another. But, you know, that quality in terms of him finding a pass, Mikhailenko from deep, probably not something you would have seen from Godfrey, but it was an interesting change, wasn't it?
It was more refreshing that it wasn't Davis or Morpe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're the changes, Andy, that we've been having, and fair play, it's worked most weeks, or, you know, 60% of the time it's worked. Refreshing for me, I don't know whether it was because Coleman was tired. There's a lot of miles on Coleman's legs in a short space of time now. And we spoke, I think, last week when I was here talking about, you know, people at Finch Farm who said that Everton were really comfortable with Coleman and allowed Nathan Patterson to put some under 21 games in his legs and stuff. But time is maybe coming for Patterson to come back in. But I think the Mikhailenko substitution, I think it was a little bit, maybe a forced one. I don't think it was a tactical one.
I'm not sure it was myself either. But again, I think we spoke so many times about players coming on and making an impact. It doesn't always have to be the forward players.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's coming here, and I think one thing you'd say about him, he's solid, isn't he? He's reliable. You know what you're going to get from him. But again, I think if you can produce a little bit more like that, because it was a positive pass. I don't think you see that often enough from him. It's often sideways and short. But you know, if he's got that in his locker more often, and maybe that's something they've worked on, is getting that ball into the middle to final third a little bit earlier and getting into feet as opposed to just lumping it up.
He's probably looked up and seen 2 6-foot-4. Players up top to call Ray Ellison, and just thought the timing of the situation and the personnel up there, lump it up, be going back to your points, credit to Corey, that holds up play was brilliant when he found the space. And then the run from Sims against Koulibaly, who's arguably been one of the best defenders in the world over recent years, and to a turn of pace like that,
it was,
not getting overexcited with Ellis Sims, I don't think it's right that we come on here and now say lash him in.
No, listen, he's very raw, and in fairness, that's what we heard from the Sunderland fans when we took him back. It was like, look, we've used him off the bench and he's been a good impact player off the bench, but he's not ready to be starting games. And we don't need him to start games. I don't think we do.
No,
I don't think we do. I think, you know, we're obviously still hoping that Calvert-Lewin will be back in the next few weeks. Damari Gray, again, I thought, you know, held the mantle very well up there. And I thought
selfless again. A lot of work with the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's definitely shown me a different side of him. I mean, I say that. I've always said that he does put a shift in, but it's just a little bit sometimes thoughtless in the way that he runs. He's definitely thinking a lot, or he's being coached a lot more on how to press, you know, and how to kind of put the opposition under pressure and which direction to show them in. And as you say, it's a little bit easier for that front man, though. If you are that front man and you know that the instruction is to get the opposition to push the ball wide, all you need to do is split the two centre-backs and go, well, at least I'm telling my midfielders it's going that way then, and I'm giving them a chance to start moving across. And I think he's doing that really well. And because he's got that bit of pace, he can get there quicker.
Well, that's that bit of pace, you remember in the first half where I think McNeil beat a man and we were in, and Damari Gray made a really good run. I think McNeil lost his feet a little bit and ended up going out for a goal kick. But I remember watching it and watching Damari Gray's run where he's staying on the shoulders. And that's brilliant forward play.
But again, you can see as well that the instruction from Dyche is when you get the ball in that middle to final third, whoever you are, whether you're a winger or midfielder, I want you to drive forward and I want you to make the opposition back off. And, you know, we've seen the stats about us playing less passes, but it's not just the direct play. It is the players in that middle to final third actually being more positive when they get in there and going and beating a man like Ellis Sims did. McNeil done a few times. I thought he looked more on the front foot than he has been, I think, since we've signed him.
He looks more confident. I don't know whether it's the Dyche effect or... If you remember when he scored the goal against Southampton away, and he put a social media post up and he said, "I've been working on my self confidence," and he put a very, very similar quote out there, I think, after the Arsenal game, where he said, "I've been quite low and I'm working on it." So maybe he's just that player that once he does get a bit of form, he gets better.
I think he's a player. I've said this to a few different people now. He's a player that just latches on to simple instructions. He just wants to be told, this is your role, bang, bang, do these two things when you get the ball. You get the feeling, and I don't want to start jumping on the being critical of Lampard bandwagon, because I don't think there's any need to do that, but you do get the feeling there's a few players in there that maybe the game was a little bit overcomplicated for, you know, and he was expecting things of them that he maybe was able to produce as a player, and his Chelsea teammates were able to produce, and the Mason Mounts were able to do, but our players are a lot more, you know, they're a lot more limited, aren't they? They're a lot more limited. And I think the one thing it looks like Dyche has brought to that forward aspect is just keeping it simple. You know, and to McNeil, it's when you get the ball, if you can't run at someone, cross it. Try and cross it. and it, you know, it might get a
corner.
Work
within your limitations. Yeah, exactly. You're good at, just do that. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't go for a 1-2. Don't try and beat a man if you're not confident. Yeah. If you're up against a really good right back,
kick it against them. Exactly, get your corner. Get your
limitations. And maybe you're looking at Sean Dyche. He talks in his press conferences about the hard yards. He keeps saying hard yards, which I love. And he even has a comment where he said, "Look, I was a limited player, and I had to work so hard to be what I am." I think he's instilling that in the dressing room. With no disrespect, you have a limited bunch, so make up for it with the hard yards. And that's what we're seeing on Saturday.
And as you say, you're seeing that a bit more self-belief. Nothing better. Best part of the whole performance for me was coming from behind. And, you know, twice. Coming from behind twice. You know, away from home against the... Again, regardless of the season, they've got a very strong, you know, group of players. And, you know, and a tough place to go, Stamford Bridge, whoever you are. But to come from behind twice for a team that's been down there so often and has folded so often when they've been behind was... There's not more encouraging than that, was
there? Yeah, again, because Chelsea are just hitting a bit of form. They've just come off on the back of three wins before they played us.
Champions League wins as well.
Champions League wins as well. And I think the manager, I think he's starting to get their manager, sorry, I think he's starting to get a little bit of appreciation from their fans, and the media seems to be with Potter and them. They were in a good moment, Chelsea. So to go and play them on Sky on a Saturday night at their place was a very, very difficult game. On paper, it was always going to be difficult, and at times it was difficult. I don't think we started particularly well.
No.
But yet, the thing is, we're running out of games, and it's just throwing points on the board now. Because everyone else, the most frustrating thing about it is everyone else is doing
it. That win from Leeds, was, I didn't see that one coming. Southampton getting a point. Yeah, I mean, and Palace. I'm gonna put it out there now, because I've said it enough in our own WhatsApp groups. I think that's an awful decision to bring Hodgson back. I mean, they might get a win. In terms of the fans and that little bounce, but
Watford tried it.
I remember seeing him at it was at West Brom as well.
Was at West Brom, I think he was all right at West Brom, to be honest.
Watford was frail, didn't he?
Yeah,
he just looked like he really was.
And that picture of him on the sunglasses on the bench. It's looking, you took your granddad out.
that's just I know. God bless him. Like, you know it. He's something of a hero to us for what he's done to them across the park for a few months, but or certainly a bit of a...
Look, they've rolled the dice, Palace, haven't they?
I think they've made a big mistake there, but you're looking where they are on the table now. It doesn't look as bad from a positional point of view, but Steve Parrish obviously said enough times, you know, that we're close there, and he justified that as the reason why he's...
Yeah, I was reading a good article in The Athletic about the Palace thing and Vieira. Vieira was out of sorts. He had a nightmare Christmas camp or something. He took them away. And it didn't quite work. But Parrish is referencing internally that's a club that can't afford to go down. They've not budgeted. They're not ready to go down. Yeah, so they pressed the button.
Yeah, no, but I think that's significant for me. Wolves, as you say, Lopetegui really starts to be, looks like he's losing his way now. And they look to be kind of going back to the position they were in at the start of the season. So they're now starting to be the teams that you think might get pulled in.
Do you think it's a benefit that there's that many teams interchanging, or do you think you'd rather it just be two others?
I think it is, because I think it starts to become psychological, and a few people, like Burnley fans, have said this to me, that Dyche loves that. You know, he loves kind of preying on. Remember, he'd done it to us at Turf Moor last year. He was throwing loads of stuff in the media, weren't he, before the game, saying about, you know, Lampard, he didn't think that...
Other teams don't know how to win.
That's it. And there's all them planting them seeds, and he likes that. And a few Burnley fans have said it, that he'll be relishing other sides getting dragged into it, because he'll be playing their mind games in the press when we're playing them and stuff like that. And again, it worked against us, because, you know, we went in front, but we folded, didn't we? We folded under
that
pressure.
We led twice that night, I think.
But it was in the players' head, we don't know how to win here. Yeah. And like, once they got level, it was like we were gone.
It's mad though, looking at the table, because... Are you thinking even on Saturday before our game, I was watching the live league table, and we were like, we were moving so up and down. It's so tight. It's desperate for someone to just put three wins back to back and go, we're out of it now.
I know.
Enjoy your time there. We're out of it. I know. I just want that to be us.
But you can. I think, you don't want to get carried away. And we've got to come on to Ellis Sims in a moment. But and that's on the same note. We don't want to get carried away.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I do have a bit more belief now. Just in terms of the mentality of the players looks a lot stronger. The manager seems like he knows how to get points up. And that was the big thing we spoke about when Lampard was dismissed, is that we were concerned that he doesn't know how to get a point. Doesn't know how to just kind of go, okay. And he's not strong enough for those groups of players to lean on. But you know, they've clearly got that dependable manager now, haven't they?
He looks like he looks and feels like a manager.
Looks like
he's
holding that pressure, isn't he? He's holding it well. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's important to players who've had a tough time. And again, we spoke about how to their core some of them are so weak, aren't they? Literally the minute that the chips are down, they just go.
There's such a big difference in what you're seeing. And I'll give all credit to the manager, because it's the same group of players, arguably worse off. Anthony Gordon, depending on your feelings, and Anthony Gordon, arguably worse off. And to see what they're giving and doing. And what I'm saying about Dyche there is when I look at him and listen to him, I actually feel and see an Everton manager. With Lampard, I felt like I just liked him. He had that connection to me because he was Frank Lampard in a weird way. I was happy that for
him. Quite a charming, just a charming man.
And he said the right things, didn't he? He blew that much smoke about us, and rightfully so, because at the time we needed it. That he actually forced a connection with Lampard, and it worked. Dancing on the main stand when we stayed up. All that, and those images, and psychologically, that can make you like someone probably more than you should. But with Dyche, in a weird way, I don't have that, like, with Lampard, at times I had those love art emojis. You know what I mean?
But
I haven't got that with Dyche, but I've got more respect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I always try and refer to, like, footy and whatever as business and work. And it's like, you know, we've all had them bosses in the past, and he's everyone's best mate, and he's liking you, and you love him. But when you think about it, he's actually very good at his job. Boss, do you know what I mean? But then the bosses that you tend to kind of have respect for, and you kind of maybe every now and again you're having a little fuck, it does my head in him. But then you know you perform for him.
You
know.
Orders and
exactly.
Stuff,
so it is. I think it's dead similar. I don't think necessarily that Dyche is everyone's best friend, and I think he's trying to be everyone's best friend, but I think he earns their respect from the way that he carries himself and the standards that he's got himself. Yeah. But anyway, just obviously need to touch on young lad El Sims. We mentioned before that he's going to be an impact player, but it's a huge goal for him, and it's a huge goal for this group, because they know now they have potentially got someone who comes off the pitch. I think it's tough when you're a player, and again, I played a lot lower down the ladder, when you've got a young person who's come and you don't really know what he's capable of, and maybe they're seeing a little bits in training, but you still don't trust him to put that ball into him and go on, go and do something. But he's, again, doing it against the Chelsea and against a tough opponent in Koulibaly, and finishing the way he did late on, that's going to earn a bit more trust from his teammates as well when he comes on now, to go put that ball in, and he can finish it.
And he came out, didn't he, after it? And we put this on our socials as quotes, that he's been working so hard and it's a dream come true to get that first Premier League goal. What you're getting at there, and I completely agree with, probably more important for the players around them to go, now we've actually got someone who's not going to hit them, who can. You know, he's not going to hit them for the lights, he's not going to do nothing. What I've seen so far of Sims, and I've only seen little bits, at Anfield, it was a hard game for him. I don't think he's someone who would give you 90 minutes of playing as a lone striker and pressing and doing all things for you. Where Calvert-Lewin was three or 4 years ago. I don't think he's that. So what you have got to use him in the way we've used them on Saturday. Like, okay, we need a goalie. I'm looking at more of him, looking at Sims. I'll throw Sims on. I trust Sims more. If Sims hadn't got that goal, and we'd have got B2-1, or arguably someone else comes on and Gray gets the goal.
He's still going, I'm not really sure. He's now got, Dyche and the group now have got another option, haven't they? They've got someone else that they know, okay, we can put it up to him. He's shown the potential, you know, he can make the ball stick and whatever, but It's the change of the psyche for the centre backs as well, because the next centre back he's playing against is thinking, hold on, I can't get too tight here. I've got to actually, and then that earns you a bit more respect. It gives you a bit more space. It helps your teammates, because they maybe draw two defenders into him, thinking, we don't want that to happen again. We've seen what he can do 1v1. I think, honestly, it sounds quite dramatic, but it changes the whole dynamic, I think, of his role in the squad.
I hate to have just a striker on there now that we know can come on and score. And what I'll compare him to, and I don't mean this in any negative
way, Big Chibi.
Where he was never that good. He was never going to be your number nine.
Yeah.
But by God, if you're drawing, that's exactly
the type of goal he's expected to score.
He'll pin a defender.
Yeah.
He'll work hard, and he's limited, but he can also score a goal for you. So look, and it takes the pressure off Dominic Calvert-Lewin now, doesn't as well. If we weren't scoring goals and we were losing games, the pressure ramps up to throw him back in. And the reason he keeps breaking down is because you're arguably throwing him back in when he's not ready. Once again, now we've got an international break.
You'd like to think, surely, wouldn't you? Come on.
Yeah, but I like the fact now that I'm not, and people could disagree, fine, I'm not desperate for him to come back in. I'm now looking and going, if he's fit for the Tottenham game, I thought that's Mardy Gray loses a shirt for me.
No, I agree. I agree. I don't think that's going to happen in any way, shape, or form. I think for all the reasons we've said about the way that Dyche has carried himself and the messages given to the players, that would send out completely the wrong message, wouldn't it, to drop Tomari Gray? But I also think Gray's going to relish that. Hold on, well, he's back now. I've got to score. Because
yeah.
you have, haven't you, thinking that he's got to score to keep staying in the team. And all those things, then you've got, you know, as in you've got Sims, he's going to play a role there. You've got Tomari Gray, who's had a few good performances, understands the role of that Dyche wants that lone striker to play. He's got a few goals himself. I think they're all huge positives that I didn't think we would expect to have after a few games.
Well, yeah. So when Lampard was sacked,
you're looking around, aren't you?
I weren't expecting Decore and Gray to be the two. And now I'm sitting here, we're moving into end of March. Again, used this phrase a few times, running out of games. And I'm happy there in the 11. I feel better with them two in the team.
You're actually looking forward to the games running out. When you're outside of it, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, a game can change everything. And again, I want to say it again, we don't want to get carried away here. A defeat in the next game and all the other teams winning and we're suddenly right back in there. But I think you've got to be. You've got to be optimistic after the last couple of games.
Yeah, and look, the old Evertonian in me, when we went 1-0 down on Saturday, was like, that's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shouldn't be like that. It's drilled into me, that's an Everton thing. And those players out there on Saturday night, to come back twice, it probably fans who agree with me, fans who are like me, that's what we need to watch. That's what we need to believe in this team. Because as Judgey said there, we get beat by Tottenham and Wolves, Leicester and West Ham, or win. Then we're going to be needing it. The team are going to need us again at some point. Goodison's going to have to be rocking. I know the sirens were back, weren't they, for the last home game. I think it's the 1878 group for helping out with that and more flags and stuff. So I'm not sitting here by all means, and there's no vodka in this. I'm not that confident. There's a long way to go, but it's just nice to be coming off a game and just going, not in the relegation zone, but actually playing well.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think you're coming out of the last few games or the last couple of games, and there's been different positives as well, which I think is really good. And you know, you're touching on at the start how dependable that back four has been, even conceding two goals the weekend, but there was clearly a way of defending that was good enough to get us a point.
Yeah, Ben Godfrey thinks important in his piece, because to bring Michael Keane and James Tarkowski, or to bring Michael Keane to play next to Tarkowski in the style we've just discussed, where you're not inviting crosses, but that's the way you're going to get together, is you need someone to recover. And he's got that recovery page. You've seen it a few times against them. He's the game guy who scored for them. His name?
Alex.
Portuguese. No, the winger.
Portuguese, not Fernandez is the midfielder, Argentinian. Portuguese.
Who's the cycle score for them on Saturday?
Havertz scored the first. Yeah. Oh, João Félix.
João Félix, he's Portuguese, I think.
Yeah, he is.
So there's a few times in the first half where Godfrey's pace against him was brilliant.
Mm.
Like, he was just recovering. So again, going back to watching an identity, I'm just watching the little things and going, that makes sense.
I'm like relishing now, like Godfrey and Patterson. I got a fully fit Patterson. But again, that's not to belittle the role that Seamus Coleman's played, and again, we can't wax a little lyrical enough about, you know, how dependable he's been despite his age. But again, you're looking at players coming back now, you're thinking they could really make a difference.
Well, it's Patterson's one. I love Coleman. I've always loved him. A couple of years ago, he was on my little lad's shirt. 23
he was mine as well. He's on
and he's someone who cares, and you look at him and he hurts and. I think the game, the Brentford game, where he won a goal kick at the park end. And
he's celebrating like he's just a goal.
I've got that connection to him, but to remove myself from that, probably time for Nathan Patterson to come back in.
Well, listen, we're going into an international break, which, again, it's so nice considering it needs a bit of a breather. I feel like I need a bit of a breather.
About this Saturday, my birthday's next week, so the wife's taking me out Saturday, you know, and she actually said to me,
Alicia, and
there's no Everton, you're not going to be looking, and you're not going to be looking at any, there's no Premier League,
there's no other games going on, you're thinking, I'll need to watch this, because it's,
so she can actually have a drink with me in peace.
Yeah, no, that I'm looking forward to that myself, but again, I think it was going to be a short one this week, just a shout out to Globe, as always. You'll have seen the ads at the start, I mentioned on the Instagram the other week when we posted something about them. Lee comes on and sort of my boy, it was that period when the snow come and all that and the ice and whatever, again, fantastic lads. The kitchen, which you can't see it, I'm looking at, they were a big part of sorting that out. Top lads, really good firm. So again, any bathroom stuff you need doing, any kitchen, any gas related or plumbing stuff, get on them, really good. You'll see the the link in our
Go on our Instagram. So Instagram is at Across the Park PC, and the first pinned post is the advert linked into Globe. It'll take you to their socials, and you can see for yourself some of the amazing work they do with really great prices as well. And he's a top lad, Scouser Evertonian. Always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, especially because the aftercare is brilliant, as I say. But if there's ever any issues, they're out straight away to sort it. So give them a look. Shout out to Vair Clothing as well. We've got one more week left on that code, so it's ATP25, which you can use that at checkout. That gets you 25% off. They do loads of tees like the one I've got on now. Polos, again, going into the summer. There's still some cracking sales stuff on there, so you can get 25% on top of the sale item. So good chance for you. There's one more week left to go on that. As I'm looking at my watch, like it's going to tell me that... Actually, I've got the date on this one, but... Yeah, there's one more week left to go on the code, so take advantage of that. But I think that's about all, Mills, for this one.
The only thing that sprung out to me last night was the news that the stadium.
Ah, sorry, yeah.
I think the Lango Raw contract, someone's revealed that it's going to end in December 2024. Mm. Everyone's thinking, bloody hell, I thought we were going to be in by August 2024. The club have always said Everton will be in that stadium for the 24-25 season, but they've never said at the start. The season ticket. Next season tickets didn't even say last season.
I was going to say that just can't happen. You can't move stadiums. How's that going to work?
Are they going to let that stadium just with the potential revenue sit for another 6 months?
Though? They might not. They might use it for events and concerts and this, which would be weird. Yeah, our stadium be weird. Being used. That'd be proper Everton, wouldn't it? The cop eight going to our stadium first before us to watch bringing bloody Bon Jovi or something.
I'd like some, I know it's hard because of the construction and time and stuff. I'd like some sort of like communication from the club and just say, like, are we going to be in?
That is a strange one. Classic Everton again. I don't want to go into the whole criticising the board or communications again, but come on. If that comes out, you've got to be ready, haven't you, to go bang.
Yeah, you'd like to think at some point some communication.
I mean, what I will say, I've got a few friends who've got corporate tickets. They were invited down to the Liver buildings last week to actually pick their seats.
Oh, right, okay.
So they had the headsets on and they can actually sit where the seat's going to be and stuff like that. So that started happening. They weren't told whether it was going to be whatever season. It was just assuring them that, look, you're going to get preference over where you sit and stuff. And there's obviously a lot more corporate tickets than in the new stadium.
There might be an Alan Myers, again, friend of the show, Alan Myers, and he's a credible journalist. He said on his socials last night, could still be in by August. Mm. It's just that we've discovered the contract construction ends in December.
Yeah. In fairness, that's standard from a construction point of view. You've got to have that leeway just in case it runs over.
Yeah.
Because if they start contracting their other workers to other jobs and there's still stuff to do, then... Yeah. It's themselves giving them.
You don't want them in July. You want to go slow, do you?
No, exactly. I'm doing it.
You're half day today.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to get an announcement. I think going back to the previous example you put of us moving in halfway through, I don't know how that could work.
It would be the most Everton thing ever.
It would be, yeah. How would that work? And again, it'd be the whole Goodison send off would be weird. It's really strange.
October.
Chef Weatherall. Yeah. Chef Weatherall. That's two promotions.
Exactly, Doncaster.
Two promotions on the bounce.
I'm only messing. I'm positive, don't worry.
But yeah.
No more shows coming up this week, but we're talking, aren't we, to a few people together.
Yeah, I've got a few guest lines.
Trying to get them on.
A few really decent guest lines.
We've had two yeses, just moving calendars and schedules around. So we're hoping in this break there'll be two. Not so much extras, but guests on to talk to me and Judgy. And some content, because we're aware that content is only, we've just been doing one a week. We got let down on it. He's not watching, so I'll just say it. Some Chelsea fan let us down last week. We couldn't find a Brentford fan 2 weeks ago to do one with. So we know that the past few weeks we've only done one show. So we are trying to do a bit more. There's obviously not going to be a match preview, but we're speaking to some people to come on and give you some good content, aren't we?
I'm actually going to the England game on Sunday.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, it's like a corporate thing, but I'm going to... Driving down on Sunday, so it's the end game. I'm not a big fan of international footy. I hope whoever's give me the tickets doesn't hear me say that. But
Reds won't like that, you know.
No.
When you get back into the group.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it'll be good. Just in case of red comments, I haven't been to Wembley for a few years, so so at least it's a chance for me to go down and go. Exactly. I'll just say it just before they say it. But that's my weekend. I'm not getting a break from footy quite.
And I'll be out on the
no stress though.
I'll tell you what, I was out on Paddy's night. Judgy was over in Ireland, but me and our lads were out in town, and a few people came over and said hello, said they watched the podcast. I'd had a few Guinnesses, so I can't remember your names, but if you're watching this, thanks for coming over. We love that, don't we?
It's great round the match now. We get a lot more. I mean, admittedly, when we was on it with the Reds, hardly anyone would speak to us.
No,
so
we got called out by everything.
No. But it is nice, you know, and it is appreciated. It's just there, people say, you know, listen to the podcast, whatever. And as we always say, even if it's a bit of a negative take, it's all good banter.
Yes, well, with our mates as well. And people come over and say nice things to us as a boss.
Yeah.
To show nice. Our mates.
It is, yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think that's about all, Millsy. We just managed to get this in after your work today, so we'll get it out. It'll be Tuesday night, obviously, or Wednesday when you're watching this.
Yeah, it'll be about an hour or so, about 7 o'clock.
We'll get a bit more content out, as Millsy said this week, but we'll keep you posted. But again, thanks as always for your support. Thanks for watching. Up the fucking Toffees.
The Toffees.